So we learn that Zacharias and Elizabeth were living at the time of Herod, the king of Judea. This was a dark time among the children of Israel for several reasons. Number one, because the last of the prophets had spoken 400 years past, and so there was no communication from the Lord in that direct inspirational sense. All they had was the scriptures. And during that time, at least among certain sects of the Jews, the religion of Israel had slowly been turned into something other than what it was supposed to be. No longer was it focused upon the faithfulness and promises of God, but it was focused upon the obedience and faithfulness of men. And so what was a religion at its essence of grace had been turned into a religion of law. And because it was a religion of law, one of the ways that we justify ourselves before men is to have other people to look down upon. Once you see yourself as a member of the holy people, other people are of necessity not of the holy people. And therefore, one of the things that the Jews had to deal with was their growing despising of the Gentiles. Now, it was certainly true that the Gentiles were they were worshipers of false gods. They were advocates of false religions. And all of that was wrong and it was sinful. But it was equally as sinful for those Jews who had bought into this new religion, this works righteousness religion, to so separate people from one another that the way to make yourself look good was to compare yourself to people who were not as good. And so there was a lot of despising going on among the children of Israel. And that was not all. Herod was the king, and he was a despot, he was a tyrant, and he was a horribly wicked man. It was safer to be his pig than his son. So, this is the situation. Long had the Jews prayed for the coming of the Messiah, and nothing seemed to be happening. And it didn't look like anything was going to be happening. The days were dark. The days were largely unhappy. And there were certain sects, the zealots and other groups of people, the people who lived out in the desert, who were keeping the hope alive. And many of the common people who attended their local synagogues were still of the old faith, the faith of grace. But everyone was praying and getting more and more tired and weary and discouraged. And Zacharias and Elizabeth are noted here as being both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And we need to take a moment to understand what this means. What this means is not that they were righteous before God because they perfectly obeyed all the commandments and of the Lord and his ordinances blamelessly, because that would be the religion of works righteousness, to be declared righteous in the sight of God because of your works. No. They were both righteous before God because their faith in his word of promise. They were believers in the Lord, and they were among those who did not give in to the discouraging idea that God had abandoned them. They continued to believe and fear God and his word. And therefore, because of this faith in the Lord, in his promises and in his word, they continued to walk in the commandments of the Lord and the ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. The activity that they did with regard to the law was the fruit of faith. So God did not look down and say, they're more obedient than anyone else. I declare them righteous because of their works. No, they were righteous by faith. Like everyone who was ever righteous from Adam all the way through, the people of God are always those who believe God's word. And the fruit of faith is to walk in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. And they did that because of their faith. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. So, in this righteous family, there was a sorrow, a long-term, continuous sorrow. And that is that they had no child. And in that society, being childless was a reproach. And therefore, they had to suffer not only the fact that they had no child, but also the fact that people thought less of them because they had no child. And so you have this couple who are righteous before God. They are believers in the Lord. And not only so, but they lead exemplary lives. And yet, their friends, relatives, and neighbors look at them with a certain amount of concern and reproach because they remained childless. And that was considered the result of some kind of moral, spiritual failing. So, we have a dark period of time. We have many people gave themselves over to a religion of works righteousness, but many people also still held to the old faith in the promises of God. And yet time was ticking. And the childlessness of Elizabeth and Zacharias was a picture of the spiritual times, because you have people praying and yearning, just as Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying and yearning for a child, so it is the nation had been yearning and praying for the child, and now it seems like it's way late for that kind of thing. Just like with them, they were both now well stricken in years, and the children of Israel were also well stricken in years in a spiritual sense. And so the light of messianic hope was still shining, but it was shining very low and very softly among the people. But God is about to go to work. And it says, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience, being that there were some 30,000 priests scattered throughout the land of Israel. And since priests were chosen by course, and then by lot, the likelihood that you would ever get to officiate in the temple was slim. For some people, it might happen two or three times in their life. For some people, it never happened at all. And so Zechariah could have waited his entire life to be officiating in the temple. And this could be his one chance. So he takes the coals and he takes the incense and goes into the sanctuary to offer these with the prayers on the altar of incense. And while he's doing it, The angel of the Lord appears to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And it says that Zechariah was troubled and fear fell upon him. When sinful human beings, broken human beings, are confronted with the glorious presence of God and his holy angels, the only proper response to this is fear. And so the angel says to Zacharias, who is filled with fear, "Fear not," or "Stop being afraid, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, I had always thought that thy prayer is heard was a reference to the prayers of Zacharias and Elizabeth about having a child. But I read the other day that that this prayer that has been heard could have included those prayers that they had prayed all those years, but it also included the regular liturgical prayers that Zechariah had been praying when he was officiating as a priest at the altar of incense, praying for himself, praying for all the priesthood, praying for the city of Jerusalem, praying for the nation, praying for the coming of the Messiah. And so when the angel says, "Thy prayer is heard," it is a prayer, the prayer that is heard is the prayer for the coming of the Messiah, for God's fulfillment of his promises, for the day of the Messianic age to come. And also, Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayer for a son, for a child. And when the angel says, "Thy prayer is heard," he's saying, he's using the term "thy prayer" in a wider sense than what we might suppose. And he says, and part of that answer is, you're going to have a son. All right. So he says, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So intermixed in this is not only Zacharias and Elizabeth's temporal concern for a child, but also his priestly duties in which he would regularly pray for the coming of the Messiah, not only when he was on duty, but also every day as a priest, as every Jew did. So "thy prayer is heard" is a statement that's saying God is about to go to work to bring about the fulfillment of all his promises in the Old Testament. And in doing this, you guys are going to play a very big part. Why? Because your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, immediately, Zacharias should have thought of the Old Testament when the patriarchs, who always seemed to be marrying barren women, you know, they are told that they will have children, even in their old age. And so it is just like God to work in unlikely situations to bring about his gracious work. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." So he will be a person of renown. God is going to do great things through your son John. "He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." He'll be a lifelong Nazarite. "And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." So as a fetus inside of his mother's womb, he will be filled with the Spirit of God. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." As time goes on and it looks like God is not acting, what happens is people have a tendency to relax their ardor and their fervor. They see that things are not moving ahead. They see that everything is kind of stuck. And so what they begin to do is drift away. And so they need to be turned to the Lord their God. And so many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, that is the Lord. He, John, shall go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we have now in this verse that he is the one who God was talking about through Malachi, who will be Elijah the prophet, who will come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, etc. And then also he makes reference to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, and that is a reference to Malachi 3 and Isaiah chapter 40. Now, this is all very good news and should have been greeted by Zacharias with rejoicing. But Zacharias, instead of rejoicing, he responds with doubt. And he says, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years." He says, "Look at me and look at my wife. We are way past the age when people have children. So I'm going to need a sign to know that this is true." And so he responds with doubt, and pretty hard doubt. His response to the angel is not the response that you would expect from a man who is revealed to be righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. This is a response that is very different from Mary's response when she asks a question that is not doubting, but asking for further instruction. All right? Here, Zacharias responds to the good news with skepticism and doubt. And the angel, answering, said to him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." All right, so first thing he says is, "I am Gabriel, the archangel, and I stand before God, and he sent me here to give you, to speak with you, and to give you these glad tidings." And he says, "Now thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." So he grants Zacharias a sign of the truth of these things, but the sign is also a chastisement for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In fact, right up until the day of John's circumcision, Zacharias will be unable to speak. All right? And this is a chastisement, but it is a chastisement that is for his instruction and for his reproof, so that he finally will be able to rejoice in the glad tidings that have not only been given, but fulfilled before his very eyes. And so he says, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. All right. So he is gently rebuked for not believing the words of the angel Gabriel. And then Gabriel simply says what is true of every word of God: it shall be fulfilled in its season. In God's way and in God's time, he will fulfill every one of his promises. The people waited outside for Zacharias. All the liturgical stuff had come to an end, and they were expecting him to come out and to give them the Aaronic benediction to dismiss them and bring the service to a close. But he's still in there, and they're wondering what happened to him. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple because he beckoned to them and he remained speechless. So he's trying to communicate with sign language that something happened. He's unable to pronounce the holy benediction, so somebody else has to be brought in to finish the service. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he left and he went back to his own house. So his work is done. He has received a promise, and he has also received a chastisement, because the appropriate thing to do when God talks to you is to believe what God says. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." So Elizabeth responds to this wonderful work of God in a way different than Zacharias. And she receives no chastisement, because she sees it as a wonderful visitation from God, and she sees it as a removal of the reproach that she has borne because of her childlessness all the days of her life. So she is seeing only God's gracious blessing, his faithfulness in fulfilling his promises. And Zechariah is speechless, because when he is given the opportunity to rejoice in faith, he gives himself over to doubt. And so the chastisement is sent upon him, but it is, first of all, done in love for a salutary reason, and secondly, it is temporary. And when the time of fulfillment comes, and John is born, and he is about to be received into the Israelite family through circumcision, his mouth is opened, he is filled with the Holy Ghost, and he praises the Lord for his faithfulness. And so Zacharias and Elizabeth, a faithful couple living in dark times, having waited and waited and waited, now they get to hear that God is on the move with his grace. He is about to fulfill all of his promises. And those promises include them, because they are chosen instruments to bring about the birth of the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist. And so today we rejoice that those who have waited long for God's answer to their need have in Christ the fulfillment of that need in the blessed forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Amen.